The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour for a Monday afternoon. With us in studio is the principal at the Creamer Law Firm. His name is Sam Creamer. And we are going to discuss today estate planning triggers. In other words, what things go on in a person's life that may trigger an individual to get serious about, about perhaps a will or a trust or other documents pertinent to their life. Sam, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Michael. It's wonderful to be here, as always.
You and I had a time together earlier in West Des Moines today.
We did. There was a really exciting new business opening up in West Des Moines, and I was very pleased to be at the opening ceremonies for that. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting opportunity for
them. It's called The Foundry, and we had that segment on just a few moments ago. And it's a huge building, huge old building. It should be very nice.
It reminded me a little bit of Quincy Market in Boston.
There you go, Quincy Market.
Where they have a very large hall that has different kinds of food options and liquor options and different kinds of things going on. There's a wonderful spice shop in Quincy Market.
Yeah.
And they had a little sign out front that said, "Ask us about your hottest sauce." So I apparently got testosterone poisoning and went in and I said, give me your hottest sauce. So I took a little taster spoon of this and I looked at this person. I said, "That's really good." They said, "Yeah, we saw a lot of it." I said, "Thank you." And I left in a hurry.
You didn't buy any, right?
Well, not that trip.
I understand. All right. Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, Creamer Law Firm. We're going to talk a little bit about these estate planning triggers. What is estate planning?
Well, estate planning comes in many types of shapes and flavors. And, you know, one type of estate planning is illustrated by a story. And the story is about Sally, who's an accountant, and Mike, who's a teacher. And Mike just was not feeling very well. And he just wasn't feeling well. And they decided to go to the doctor. So they go to the doctor, and he gets EKGs and MRIs and blood tests and stress tests and all kinds of tests. And he's all finished with these tests. And the doctor says, "Mike, I want you to go put on your clothes. I got to talk to Sally." Sally says, "Well, Doc, what do you think?" "Sally, what Mike has is failure to thrive."
Oh.
And she says, "What's that?" And he says, "Well, it's a serious, serious problem. And in order to treat it, you've got to let Mike have whatever he wants for dinner. And you got to make sure he uses the remote. And you got to take good care of him and love him, hold him, care for him. Because otherwise, his condition could be terminal." The doctor leaves, and Mike's now dressed, and they get in the car. And Mike says to Sally, "Well, what did the doctor tell you?" Sally says, "Mike, you're going to die." And in a sense, Sally is doing an estate plan for Mike. She has already identified just exactly how she wants things to go. So she's basically taking control of the situation. And really, Michael, that's very important in what we do, because we don't believe estate planning is about documents or wills. Frankly, it's not even about death. What estate planning is about taking control. The real question is, do you want to take control of what things happen when you can't make decisions for yourself? Or do you want to let the statute take control or just leave it to chance? It turns out the Live Forever plan has not proven to be successful as yet. So your alternatives are either to plan or just let things happen as they will.
Got it. All right. So we're going to talk about several things in estate planning and also some of those life events that may trigger someone to start to think seriously about that. So let's start with what's a will.
A will is basically a declaration of what you want to have happen to those things that you possess. Mostly it's about tangible items, such as your assets. But there's also provisions for intangibles. For instance, a will can be utilized to appoint a guardian for minor children. A will, again, is a declaration, a testament, a testimony to two witnesses as to what you want to have happen. So the will is the declaration in large measure of what you want to have happen to your things. But there are some other types of qualifications.
Well, there's some other things that we've heard about that have something to do with the will. These medical procedures and what are those?
The medical power of attorney arguably is even more important than the will. When you think about estate planning documents, we think of them as having really three components. A will, which I've already discussed, a power of attorney for healthcare, which I'm about to discuss, and a power of attorney for financial matters, which I will discuss.
Okay.
The power of attorney for healthcare is an appointment of somebody to make a healthcare decision for you if and when you can't make a healthcare decision for yourself. Now, that may be something relatively minor, but by the same token, it could be something very major, like it's time to close the machines down.
Hmm.
Accordingly, the person you pick is really important, and it's got to be somebody who could make a very difficult decision in a very high-pressure situation.
And I have heard you talk about this in a group setting in the past, Sam, and you have always suggested that it be a person and not a group of people.
When you appoint a group of people, you have group dynamics. Those group dynamics can include but not be limited to disagreements or absences. What happens if you've got three children appointed and one's on a cruise? What happens if one's on a cruise and the two disagree? These problems are easily resolved by simply having one individual appointed with a succession for a second or third individual in the event the first cannot, will not, or is unable to serve.
Got it. Okay. Now, what about the financial matters, power of attorney?
Financial matters are also important. And just like the power of attorney for healthcare, that exists only when you can't make a financial decision for yourself, but you have not yet passed, so the will is not yet effective. This is somebody that could help you do things that you would otherwise do for yourself. Most of the time, these are quite broad powers, and they can include, but may not be limited to, selling your property or manipulating your stocks and bonds. So again, the person that you choose has got to be somebody that would act similarly or exactly like you would want them to.
So now we've talked about the will, the power of attorney for health care, the power of attorney for financial matters. But there are other things that can be going into estate plans. I've heard people talk about trusts and whatnot.
Trusts are a very important part of an estate plan if there are individuals who either can't manage assets or are in a position whereby they would do so badly and squander what's given to them. What we commonly do in estate plans that we draft is create what's called a testamentary trust, meaning the will itself creates a trust to protect minors, to protect grandchildren, to protect people who would otherwise use bad judgment, or in fact, it turns out money can hurt people. Those trusts are basically a declaration to a trustee that this is what you want to have happen to the income and the principal of the trust. Again, it is a declaration when you are not available to make the decision for yourself. An inter vivos trust is a trust you create during your life. Now, that's different.
It is different.
Those are sometimes called revocable trusts. Those are sometimes called living trusts. There's lots of names for them. In those, most of the time, the grantor, the person that's putting the assets into the trust, will control the trust, and they will decide how things will happen. I would say that the biggest advantage of a revocable trust is that arguably you can escape the probate process. But by the same token,
things belong to the trust.
Things belong to the trust, and you don't have the judicial oversight that probate does allow.
So if we don't have a trust, if we don't have a will, if we don't have these things in place, what happens?
In that event, the Iowa Code basically creates the estate plan for you, whether you like it or not.
Ooh.
At the outset, the judge would have to appoint an administrator to take care of the assets. And that could be anybody the judge decides is appropriate. Quite frankly, it's whoever really presents themselves to the judge and says, I want to do it first. Obviously, that can create a race to the courthouse of children, and it can create hearings. It can create very hard feelings. So one of the things that is an advantage of having a will is it appoints an executor and takes some of that pressure off the court. The second thing that happens if you don't have a will is it determines how your property is going to be distributed. Now, the first question is, is the individual married at the time they pass? Now, if they're married and all of their children are also all of the spouse's children, the spouse gets everything. Example.
What if there's a blended family?
If there's a blended family, meaning there is a spouse, but the deceased has children with someone other than the spouse, the surviving spouse gets half, and the children who are not the children of the surviving spouse get half.
Got it.
Now, what if there's no spouse? What if there's no children? What if there's no? Well, then the parents get resurrected, or the parents get the assets. And quite frankly, it becomes sort of a fountain from there. If the parents are gone, your siblings get. If your siblings are gone, your nieces and nephews get.
Sounds awfully convoluted.
It can be very convoluted. And then there's questions as to kinship, and there's questions as to who should get. So in the absence of a will, you're in a situation whereby the statute controls. But really, Michael, the biggest problem is if you don't have a will, you can't protect minors, you can't protect spendthrifts, you can't protect people who would need the benefit of a trust to make sure that the assets are not squandered or somebody's not taken advantage of.
One of the things that we talked about prior to you coming on, Sam, was what are those triggers that tend to get people interested in creating a will?
Well, just like Mike and Sally, the first issue is illness.
Health.
And whether that illness is your illness or illness close to you, whether that's a spouse or a close friend, I call those mortality events. Those are basically something that cause either you to think of your own mortality or for you to witness the mortality of others. Now, a second change is oftentimes a change in the family. As we all know, families are much more complicated than they used to be. If there's a divorce automatically revokes any bequest for the spouse that's in a pre-existing will. But by the same token, a divorce is a traumatic event, and sometimes people want to rethink how their assets are going to be utilized or rethink who should be the guardians. Finally, Michael, for reasons that I cannot fully explain, when people travel, they seem to want to come in and do estate planning.
So they travel to what, Poughkeepsie?
It could be to Poughkeepsie if they're worried that there's going to be a car crash on the road. And it could be overseas. Travel overseas has been a significant trigger. And I think that the real reason for that is they're concerned that if something happens overseas, they want to make sure that their wishes have been memorialized in these estate planning documents. Again, there's a wonderful story, and the story is about a fellow who gets a call, and it's from the ambassador in Israel. And the ambassador to Israel says to the fellow, your mother-in-law has been traveling here in the Holy Land, and I'm very sorry to tell you that she's passed away. And he says, oh, that's just horrible. He says, yes. And he says, but, you know, you've got some choices now. We can bury her here, and it costs $500, or we can send her back to the States where she can be buried there, and it's $15,000. The fellow thinks for a second. He says, ship her back here. The ambassador says, oh, you must be very fond of your mother-in-law. He says, no. He says, I heard about a guy that was buried over in the Holy Land, and 3 days later he was up walking around, and I just can't take that risk with my mother-in-law.
Sam Creamer, an attorney with humor. How about that? Thank you very much, Sam. We've been talking about triggers and estate planning. It's not about death. It's about taking control. Good stuff. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for including me.
Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, the Creamer Law Firm. If you missed all or part of this particular interview, don't worry. We will have it all up on our radio blog. All right, we've got to step aside for just a moment to find out what happened today on Wall Street. Stocks go up, down, somewhere in the middle. We'll tell it all when we come back. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. Can you brush your shoes?